Hey everybody, this is Shannon with VIP Kid World. Welcome back. In today's podcast, I want to jump back into the series ABCs for VIPs. It's been a little bit since I made one of these. Some ideas come easily and others don't. But I do appreciate your support and listening to this, and hopefully you've also been enjoying the book reading so far. Only two more chapters left, so something to look forward to. So we're moving into the next letter, J, and when trying to create something for J, it was definitely a little bit more difficult. It was kind of an odd letter, but one of the things that popped up in my mind is something that I have been thinking about. I guess I talked about in a few workshops, not that, you know, recently, but it has to do with something that we as VIP Kid teachers, and really teachers in general, often do. So for today's podcast, we are going to be talking about the ABCs for VIPs. J is for juggling. Now, don't get out your, you know, balls and bowling pins and such, because we are not going to be teaching that kind of juggling. Not in this podcast, at least. But what this one's going to be talking about, as opposed to physical juggling, is the kind of juggling that happens in the classroom with our brains. Now, of course, I'm not moving my head around really fast to mix up my brain, but what I am talking about is all of the things that we as successful and quality teachers are actually juggling throughout a positive and effective 25-minute class. So it's about the process. What are you doing to accomplish the goal of having a quality 25-minute class? You know, there are obviously a lot of things that happens during our class, and there are a lot of things that we end up juggling. What are some of the examples of things that you're juggling in your 25-minute class? Well, you might be able to think of even more than this list, but just some off the top of my head, rewards, and specifically the kind of reward that makes the child interested, keeps their interest, makes them happy. Remember, if you're giving a reward and your student is not in any way, shape, or form reacting, your reward is useless. You might as well just throw it away. I'm not one of those teachers who believes that rewards just need to be given because someone told you to do it. I think no matter what form your reward comes in, whether it's physical, it's verbal, it's nonverbal, it's a game, it's party, dance party, whatever it is, it has to be something that helps your student to react in a certain way. Smile, giggle, laugh, move, something to say that it's working and it's helping them to realize that this is a positive type of action that they want to redo. Great sentence, great, you know, speaking, great job with this, nice that, wonderful this, you're working so hard, I'm so proud of you. There's so many ways we can reward students. The next one, props. Well, you know, there are a lot of different props, and just because some people believe that they don't have to use props doesn't mean that that's necessarily true. There is plenty of research to say how important props are in the classroom, especially in the 2D classroom and the online classroom. Sometimes the only thing that's ever going to help your student understand what you're talking about is a visual representation, not a verbal one. Being able to continue juggling the student's interest, you know, especially for new kids that we don't know very well. Sometimes we're spending that 25 minutes just assessing what they are interested in, what they're not interested in. It's like a constant trial and error situation. We're also trying to build rapport. The longer you have students, of course, you get to know them very well. But in those first few classes, you're trying to create some kind of relationship between you and the student. And that might come in many different ways. You might ask them questions. You might kind of pay attention to their reactions for the curriculum. I always hear teachers ask questions like, how do I get a child, you know, how do I build rapport with students who don't actually speak English? Maybe we're talking about level one, low level twos. Well, usually a lot of that rapport building comes through the curriculum. You know, if you get to the color unit, maybe I couldn't be randomly in a unit and say, hey, Johnny, tell me what your favorite color is, because maybe Johnny's not familiar. He knows what his favorite color is, but he's not familiar with the name of it. So as we're teaching it, it has a perfect opportunity to see it on the screen, use what's there, use what he's learning in order to say, oh, now I do know how to answer this type of question. So building rapport as we go. Something else that we're juggling, what we're doing with our bodies, our demonstration. Remember, teacher movement is not TPR, no matter how many times people on the internet want to tell you that. Your movement as a teacher is gestures or demonstration. So the way that we demonstrate, trying to make sure that everything we do with our hands goes in conjunction with everything that's coming out of our mouth. Now trying to get students to do it, right? Adding some TPR into our classroom by getting a child to physically respond to what we're saying, to reply, to repeat. Checking for comprehension. Gosh, that's majority of our class is trying to check to see, does the child understand what they're learning? Can they use it? Can they show comprehension? Do they have mastery? Am I doing a good job as a teacher? Not just following teacher directions, but am I really truly digging deep and helping this child to understand what they're seeing? Actual teaching, not just reading the slides, which I do hope to create a podcast about that at one point. I think there's a lot more than simply reading teacher directions to being quality teacher. But there are a lot of things to juggle, right? And one of the most important things for us to make sure that we are not doing, if we're going to be effective in juggling all these things, is we are not distracted. Obviously, this shouldn't be something that anyone has to tell us, but I do hope that everyone listening stays off of their phone during class, 25 minutes, at 5 a.m, who could you be talking to? So let's stay off of our phone. Let's stay focused on the student. The more focused you are, the easier all of these things are to do. It just makes life easier. It makes juggling things easier. But one of the other things that I think is really important if we're going to be successful at this mental juggling that we do during the class is to say, are there things from that list that I can actually get rid of or make easier? So here are a couple of examples that work for me. For example, number one, working on automatic demonstration or, consistent demonstration as done by a teacher, by ourselves, that we don't have to think about. Now, the longer you are physically involved in the classroom, many of you have seen that those gestures, that demonstration that we do sometimes comes naturally, whether it's waving or thumbs up or, cupping the ear or pointing to yourself or doing anything. Some things just become natural. Realistically, they go well outside of the classroom and into our day-to-day lives. We cannot pull the two apart, and that's a good thing. That's actually a good thing in my opinion, because what that does is that means that we don't have to think about what to do with our bodies. Our body and our brain, they are naturally connected together. And that means that our demonstration becomes so much easier because it is a natural part of the VIP Kid classroom. Taking one of those balls out of the rink, so to speak, and we don't have to juggle it. Here's a second one, preparation. Now I plan on having a nice long podcast here on preparation in a little while, but you all know how I feel about this. I don't really care how other people on the internet feel, but I do think that preparation, and I don't mean long-term, hour-long prep. I mean being able to actually know what's on a PowerPoint before you teach it, even if that takes you 1 or 2 minutes to look at the PowerPoint. That is huge, because what that does is being able to see what you are going to teach, even if you've taught it 100 times before, means that there are no surprises. Any of you that have taught with VIP Kid for any period of time knows that the curriculum gets changed all the time. Slides are changed, PowerPoints are changed, topics are changed. So the only way for us to be thoroughly prepared to teach, the only way for us to really do our thing is to be prepared, or to at least put our eyes on the PowerPoint. Even if you can't be bothered to do anything outside of that, at least take a look at the PowerPoint, scan through it, make sure you are familiar with all of those slides before teaching, as this will decrease the number of surprises, but also make it a lot easier to juggle everything else. Another one that I think helps a lot is looking for patterns. So knowing the kinds of patterns that either come through the curriculum or through your specific student can definitely help make a lot of these other juggling activities a little bit easier when we know who we're looking for, what we're dealing with, and how they're going to react to what's about to happen. If you are a note taker, I know taking notes can be really beneficial. I personally take notes, shorthand notes, so that I can write quality feedback. But I know other teachers like to take notes for many different reasons, just to be able to organize what's going on in their brain. Sometimes our brain doesn't really, it's not the best at remembering things 7 classes later. But if that is something that you need, it can definitely help to make that juggling process a little bit easier if you already have notes that make the classroom environment and, you know, the interchange between you and the student a little bit more fluid. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about is a really important realization that I think every single one of us needs to think about. And that is just honestly realizing that sometimes we're not perfect and we are going to make mistakes because we're human. We're human. Everyone listening to this is human, unless you have your dog listening in the background. But being able to be forgiving of yourself and realizing that every time we do make that mistake, it's not something to beat yourself up over. I know I've talked to many teachers in the past who were upset about something that happened or something that they did in class that they thought they could have done better, or they were very upset that they chose one path instead of the other and it didn't work, and oh, I'll never see the student again. If you live your life like that with VIP Kid, you won't last very long, because that's just how life is. We're going to make mistakes, and it doesn't matter how many classes that you've taught, you are going to make some kind of mistake. But just realizing that we can forgive ourselves for those mistakes and we can learn from them and we can move on from that. That is something that I think is a great way to take control of your classroom. And remember that sometimes juggling gets better with practice. So the more we practice, the more we prepare ourselves, the more we realize that we're not going to be perfect, but boy, practice can definitely get us a whole lot closer than lack thereof. So that is the end of our podcast for today. J is for juggling. If you feel like picking up juggling as a hobby, I'm sure your students would enjoy it. But otherwise, thank you so much for listening. I hope that you've been enjoying everything that you've heard on the podcast. Feel free to share it. And until next time, we'll see you soon.